good, Mayor, thank you.
Good, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead and get this show on the road. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Thursday, January 9th, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Carla. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon. Fritz?
Here.
Hardesty?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. And we have the continuation. We'll go ahead and get the rules of order and decorum from the city attorney. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the Council Clerk's Office for Communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify, unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on, and when your time is done, a red light goes on. If you're in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you're filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Carla, we have one item for this afternoon, item number 24, please.
Authorize the Office of Community and Civic Life to convene an internal multi-bureau work group to develop a plan for updating cross-reference responsibilities for public involvement and commit to renewing district coalition office contracts through June 2023.
Thank you. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. Before we begin, I'm going to briefly explain what we're doing today and what we'll be doing moving forward. As you know, we had held a special evening council session on Thursday, November 14th, to hear public testimony on this item. Since we didn't have time to hear from everyone who signed up at that session, we scheduled a second session to hear remaining testimony. So today, we will only hear from those people who previously signed up. There will not be a vote on the resolution today. We will accept written testimony through the end of the week, so please, if you want to submit written testimony in person to the council clerk, you'd have to do that on Friday. Otherwise, you can submit via email through Sunday, January 12th. In July of 2018, City Council instructed Civic Life to begin the process of updating City Code Chapter 3.96 to define the functions and responsibilities of the Office of Community and Civic Life. This has been a long and challenging process for all of us. Although the process moving forward looks different from our original plan, I'm pleased that so many Portlanders have affirmed that we must commit to more inclusive and equitable civic engagement policies and practices. This resolution addresses two of the key questions raised through the process thus far. First, while this code change was only about chapter and code that governs civic life, that same chapter outlines how other bureaus, not just Civic Life, engage with recognized organizations. Committee 3.96's proposal would have kept those practices in place until or unless bureaus decided to review and update them. Now Civic Life will convene a multi-bureau work group to make a plan for addressing these cross-referenced responsibilities together. And second, parallel to the code change conversation, Civic Life has been engaging district coalition offices whose contracts are set to expire in June 2020 about what their role, responsibilities, and outcomes should be. The proposed 3-year extension in this resolution will allow us to thoughtfully examine the current structure and work with community to develop recommendations for improvements to better serve all Portlanders. My office has copies of both the resolution and the timeline for these next steps outlined by the resolution, so please feel free to stop by for a copy if you would like one. The process thus far represents a significant step forward for a Bureau that has grappled for decades with how to promote more inclusive practices and deliver more equitable outcomes. I appreciate the work and time of all who have engaged in and contributed to this process so far, and I look forward to working together on the next steps. And now we'll just move on to public testimony.
So 3 minutes each, please. And if you could just state your name for the record. These are pretty sensitive microphones. They slide around, and we find about 6 inches away from the microphones best. So we welcome you. We thank you for coming in today. We appreciate the fact that you've now come twice. So we'll listen extra carefully to your testimony today. So thank you. Carla, go ahead and read the first names, please.
Okay, and I show 10 people have signed up from the previous time saying they are here. So if you did not come in and check your name off, please let me know you are here. So I'll start with the first three are Chelsea Powers, John Larson, and Will Fuller.
Very good. Thank you and welcome. Would you like to go ahead and start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
My name is Chelsea Powers. I'm the chair of the Brentwood-Darlington Neighborhood Association. Mayor and commissioners, thank you for this time to speak today. I'm here to give my personal testimony regarding Code Change 3.96. At the November 14th Code Change 3.96 report and resolution meeting, I submitted a written statement outlining a few of my concerns. Unfortunately, little has been done to reassure me that I have been heard, not just as a Neighborhood Association volunteer, but as a Portlander, especially since I only found out about this meeting through word of mouth. The only official notification I received that I can find is buried in the bottom of a Civic Life email from December 9th. Even the city's own Code Change 3.9's website makes no mention of the continued testimony today. I could reiterate my concerns, but that would be a waste of all our time. Instead, I will tell you the positive things that have come from this process, because it shows hope for what the next phase could achieve. This project has highlighted to neighborhood associations where we are lacking, something not clearly communicated before. It has illustrated how other organizations, groups, and individuals interact with local government. It has illuminated to neighborhood associations all the ways in which civic life has not been fulfilling their part of Code 3.96. It has spurred many of us to reflect on our meetings and events, looking for ways to make them more inclusive for everyone. We have risen to the challenge presented by this process, forming partnerships and working across neighborhood borders for a common cause. Listening to the testimony of those in support of code change gave me pieces to the puzzle of how to better include and advocate for my neighbors. I truly wish that neighborhood associations had been invited as collaborators in this process from the beginning. Civic Life has produced a vision that we should all strive to meet, but throughout the process, they've shown an inability to communicate at the level legally required by the City of Portland and manage a project of this scope effectively and appropriately. I hope that the next phase of a project of this magnitude will be placed with a Bureau better equipped to do a large-scale outreach using multiple modes of communication, not just digital. I ask that you add wording to the proposed resolution stating that support and funding for neighborhood associations and coalitions will not be eliminated or weakened. And I challenge those in charge of the next phase to do better than engaging with less than 1% of all Portlanders. Neighborhood associations want to be part of making Portland a city where everyone has a voice, but we can't do that if you silence us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is John Larson. I'm a longtime board member of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association. I'm here in that capacity. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you about this very important topic. I'm here today to urge you to make very certain, with precise wording in the final resolution, that the process it sets in motion will be open, transparent, and accountable, and that the work group will follow city and state rules for open meetings and records. I know that all of you have heard a great deal over the last several months about the disturbing flaws in the proposed change to Code Section 3.96 that emerged from the process that was set in motion by City Council Resolution 37373. I firmly believe that that earlier resolution was passed by Council with the best of intentions. I won't belabor this, but we now know that those good intentions were only partly realized. Many of you spoke to those good intentions at the time that the resolution was passed. Mayor Wheeler, you in particular stated it very clearly when you said these words. Quote, my reading of the resolution is that it does not come at the expense of others. It, to me, is a more expansive vision of civic participation, inclusion, and democracy in our city. There is no way I can read this resolution as being anything other than a both and solution, as opposed to an either or solution, end quote. That expansive vision was and continues to be entirely laudable, and I would hope that those goals would be shared by everyone in this room. Sadly, as you know, that vision was not realized. Instead, the process and the way that it was conducted have led to extraordinary and, I would add, wholly unnecessary divisions within the Portland community. We respectfully ask, therefore, that this time around, Council's goals for this new process be made explicit in the be it resolved portion of the new resolution. First, by including, quote, be it resolved that the process authorized by this resolution will be completely open and transparent and will be conducted in full accordance with the City of Portland's public involvement principles as adopted on August 4th, 2010, end quote. And further, quote, be it resolved that this process is intended to increase opportunities for access to and participation in city government by strengthening both the system of neighborhood associations and a broad array of diverse community groups as envisioned in the 2016 Auditor's Report and the 2008 Community Connect Report, end quote. Including such precise language within the resolution itself about what Council intends for both the process and the goal will go a long way toward avoiding the misalignment between aspiration and product that has resulted in the current situation.
Thank
you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi. My name is Will Fuller. Thank you for having our testimony. I'm here on behalf of myself, but I'm an active member of the Multnomah neighborhood and have been for many years. I value the neighborhood system highly. I also support this resolution. It continues the needed work of including all Portlanders in civic engagement and provides time to do it right. I wasn't going to testify today. You've already have my written testimony about Chapter 3.96 not naming organizations. But after Nick Fish's tragic death, I want to call out in honor of that fine, competent public servant who cared sincerely and deeply about bringing people together for meaningful agreement on serious issues. I want to call for three actions on that behalf. First, I call on neighborhoods and the Office of Civic Life to work together, not apart, to craft innovative, flexible, and inclusive policies and procedures for civic engagement. Second, I call on the city to continue to broaden civic engagement to all Portlanders by other means. Build on the good work that's done so far by the Office of Community and Civic Life, but don't use the resolution's three-year timeline to delay action. And finally, I call on my fellow neighborhood activists to not just defend the neighborhood system, but work to improve it. Our neighborhood associations need to become more representative, and it's up to us, caring, dedicated neighbors, to make that happen. Finally, and with the proposed resolution, Portland has an opportunity to do it right. Seize that opportunity. Pass the resolution, and let's get to work on further changes and better, more inclusive community engagement by all Portlanders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, all three of you.
Were you a radio announcer in a past life?
No. Thanks.
I just want to apologize to anyone that didn't feel like they had proper notice. Announcements were sent out in two different Civic Life updates. I also understand the date was pushed out by neighborhood groups on their Google group, and Everyone who left their contact info on the sign-up sheet was directly contacted, so we really did do our best to get the word out.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Marty Sapikas, Diane Drum, and Robert Schultz.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasant experience to be this collegial for a moment.
It's always like that here.
Of course it is. I read about that collegiality all the time. I'm Marty Slapikas, Vice Chair of the Hayden Island Neighborhood Network. Previously on November 14th, I sent in testimony regarding mostly livability and the volunteerism of the neighborhood associations. And I accompanied that with a document that contained 24 major issues. It's a living document for us on what we do for Hayden Island and livability issues. And they concern not just Portland, but they concern state issues. And in some cases, it's getting to be national issues because of the interstate bridge aspect. Today, I sent you, or tried to send you, my markup of the proposed resolution that Commissioner Udaly has submitted. I'm not going to talk about that today because it's too detailed right now, and I think it deserves some time. I tried to get it to you earlier, it was unsuccessful. But what I wanted to do is just offer a few comments on something. Code 3.96 about neighborhood livability, and it contains guidelines for the standards of district coalitions and other groups that it covers, and it also highlights the benefits and responsibilities that go with that framework. It sets out the functions, duties, and responsibilities of civic life. It helps neighborhoods effectively together participate on an equal status with city council and the other bureaus. Civic Life has stated that there's people that want to add formal recognition of community-based organizations. However, in their mission statement, one portion of it, it says that all the code change committee agreed that all community groups should have access to the benefits outlined in ONE standards. However, they went on to state that voluntary guidelines are helpful tools for civic engagement. And voluntary is what bothers me. Apparently, this is the seat-at-the-table request, and it implies there's no standards for inclusion to the table. Now, my comments are based on my experience in Alaska in 1971 with the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. They received, during that period of time, up to 44 million of acres of land and were paid $963 million for settlement to put the Alaska pipeline into existence. 12 regional corporations were formed, and corresponding Native villages under that were also part of, neighborhood associations. If you went into research, you'd find that the neighborhood associations could possibly owe their livability to that. Now, back to Portland. Civic Life believes we recognize that Portland organizes in different ways, and they are to support everyone.
Why don't you go ahead and summarize the rest of your document?
However, to allow everyone a seat at the table without requiring an adherence to guidelines of transparency, accountability, and non-discrimination invites chaos, I believe, at the multi-bureau table. Furthermore, not requiring those who wish the seat at the table to meet those standards is doing them, I believe, a disservice. Those CBOs who are judged to be less likely to be able to meet standards generally face less demanding and strong demands to meet those standards. By even considering the very group that Civic Life is trying to help, they are really not. They're ignoring it.
Okay. All right.
We're not dividing our community. We're trying to build our community.
Very good. Thank you, sir. And you sent an email. I'm not sure I've received it yet.
Yes, I tried. The service was disregarded, so I don't know. We're still working on that.
I'll look for it. I'll see if we have it. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I'm sorry Mr. Fish is not with us today. And I'm glad that each of you is. My name is Diane Drum. I live in the southwest corner of Irvington, a corner that has low-income housing and relatively affordable rentals. My neighborhood association exists and works in solidarity with my neighbors who are low-income, people of color, seniors, and people with disabilities. I do not want to lose that neighborhood resource. In the spring of 2018, my low-income neighbors at Dalkey Manor told me about serious issues that threatened their basic safety. I arranged meetings with Home Forward, who manages their building, and Jamie Duhamel and Chloe Udaly's office. Letters were sent to all the commissioners, except Ms. Hardesty, because you were not yet serving. The responses we received varied from tepid to dismissive. One of the tenants suggested that we go to the Irvington Neighborhood Association, which has a long history of support of Dalkey. We had easy access because every address in the neighborhood receives a quarterly newspaper. All board members are easy to contact. All meetings are open. Anyone can attend and place something on the agenda, and any neighbor can run for the board. The association was concerned and welcomed me and my neighbors. With the association's support, agencies became more responsive and significant improvements were made. The board of the Irvington Community Association may not currently be low-income people of color, but they welcomed and supported their low-income neighbors, many of whom are people of color, 100%. I am concerned that with the changes that were suggested by the code change process, a nonprofit can claim to represent a constituency, but there are no stated requirements for democratic structures such as the ones that govern neighborhood associations. As a community health nurse for 29 years who worked in 27 different languages, I worked with many of the organizations who were involved in the code change process or with clients who were served by those organizations. Some nonprofits and community organizations are wonderful, but they are not necessarily grassroots democratic. Some of them are nonprofit, socially motivated businesses. Many receive public funding. I have seen situations where an organization did not challenge misplaced county policy because they did not want to jeopardize future funding. And I have worked with clients who are deeply dissatisfied with the decision of that organization or organizations such as that that didn't want to say anything for fear of losing services. It seems to me that if the participation and advocacy we claim to seek with these code changes will not occur if democratic structural requirements are not clearly stated, designated groups and officials could exist in an echo chamber to reinforce priorities that their communities do not really support. I am flabbergasted that all the great concepts of the code change committee terminated in a structure in which one appointed person in a government bureaucracy would have written the rules to determine to whom the country county listens. I have one more paragraph.
Can you summarize it for us?
The code change process, though perhaps well-intentioned, was an example of democracy by invitation only, an example of name-calling and divisiveness towards volunteers and community activists who raised concerns. It will be difficult to undo the damage that was done. In a large city with no district representation, we need some form of geographic empowerment. It is important that the multi-bureau work group process be open and transparent. The resolution statement should state it is not the intent of the process to weaken or eliminate neighborhood associations or the coalitions. Again,
very good.
You're quite condensing it. It sounds like you're waiting at your time.
That's it. I'll be done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
I'm Robert Schultz, single full-time father of three from Lentz. I actually am on the Lentz Neighborhood Association as a public safety chair, though I'm embarrassed to say I don't do as much as I should probably for holding that thing. I've met several of you. Y'all come to Lentz. I appreciate that. I think it's cool. You've heard a lot from a lot of people that probably say some of the pros and cons of this better than I, so I thought I'd share my experience, which I think will lend itself to the idea that I think there is a place for neighborhood associations, and I believe that civic life should be, in fact, embracing it and investing it rather than trying to push it to the side and do this kind of obscurity of, like, we're going to listen to some people but not have it listed who. So I have a son that went through leukemia treatment from 5 5 to basically 9 for 4 years. And during that time, NEA Generations proposed a project with Portland Public School and put it right next to where I live. And I woke up to this as we kind of left the fog. My son survived, so everything's great there. As we left this kind of fog of treatment, I was like, wow, how did this get to be here? And it turns out my neighborhood association advocated for this placement of this program that was not well vetted and has now since delivered a history of not delivering on its promise to help poor people, especially from the Native community. They were proposing a cultural center that they don't even have a budget proposal on, and there's no real meaningful accountability. Well, my neighborhood association can provide some of that accountability, and that's why I believe the neighborhood association, though they have their faults, and I've seen them, because at that time, this group was not, that was head of the neighborhood association, was not really engaging our community, not in a meaningful way. And as I got into the neighborhood association, using public meeting laws to record what was happening and broadcast that on YouTube to anybody that cared, about 200 to 300 people would care, it became clear that these folks really were more invested in what they wanted rather than what the community wanted. And I would note that that is a hazard of the neighborhood association system, as well as a hazard of Community and Civics Life's role in that system and the coalition office, because we brought that, the folks that cared enough, to them and said, look, this is not really us. We need more training. We need investment by you guys. And what we got was nothing. We got false promises for trainings. We got very modest trainings that really didn't do anything to facilitate our community engaging our larger community. The ones that really care, wanting training, asking for help and support, didn't get that. So what I would like to see is Community and Civic Life honor their role of offering training, of building the community from the government side. You guys employ people at a very high rate that have the skills that could lend themselves to these efforts and yet don't. They're even charged to. I've been to the ONI back meetings back in the day where they talked about how 6 months of their year is planning the budget for next year. And I was shocked at the poor use of time and dollars from the city. I met with Mayor Hales. He was our guest at the Gall of Hope from the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and he mentioned that our system, our neighborhood association system, is internationally known and prized and valued, and yet in our city we have people that say it's horrible. Well, if it's horrible, it's a lack of investment from Civic Life and a lack of investment from the community, and it can change if we help change it.
So. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Thanks. Appreciate it very much.
And we'll see you, next 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, in Lentz? Thanks for coming.
To it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Robert Seals, Jessica Rojas, and Colleen Shoemaker.
Thanks for being here. Welcome. Would you like to start, please?
My name is Robert Seals. I don't know how this goes, but I live in Dolkey Manor, and just going by what I know, and the Urban and Community Association, the Neighborhood Association, has helped us get security in our building, and they built the patio in the back and put care for the people. It's a 9-story building, so there's a lot of elderly, handicapped people, and they're just continuing to help us continue on, because the building was getting really bad about a year ago, and now we got security, it's getting better, and I just wanted to say that they're helping us, they're still helping us today, they're gonna continue helping us, and just cut it short, we couldn't be where we are now without their help.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you.
And which neighborhood association is that?
Irvington Community Association, the Neighborhood Association.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll make sure that gets passed along. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council, Mayor. Thank you for this time. I've waited months, maybe almost 2 years, to address you personally on behalf of the Northeast Coalition Neighborhoods and the work that I do and the work that we do together. As you know, the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, we serve 12 neighborhoods in Northeast Portland. And at my time there, I'd say neighborhood associations are probably about 20 to 25% of the work that I do. I remember a time when I was fearful that somebody would read our reports, and be concerned that we were doing scope creep because we were doing outreach to faith organizations, that we were working with environmental organizations, that I was meeting with every grassroots entity that walked in our door. In December, I did 3 weeks, 7 days a week, This week will also be another 7-day-a-week one for me. I'm the only member of our organization that doesn't have children. I rent a room in the community that I grew up in. I've been in Northeast Portland since 78. My career, or my community, is not a stepping stone in my career by any means. I take this work very serious. And I'm at meetings from early in the morning to late at night. And on the weekends, we open up our space so other community organizations can use our space. We house on-site entities such as Good in the Hood, Portland Tenants United, Grow Portland, which serves 12 schools in East Portland, and I am the board chair, and my organization supports me doing that work. I serve on several hiring committees, grant committees, every committee that you can ask for, volunteer. I would like more support for our organization to continue to do this work, because I know that we could improve, but I know that we cannot open the door and ask people, especially people of color, to come and work for free, an underpaid nonprofit organization. 6.475 million is a number I have written on my hand today. That is the FTE at the Office of Civic Life. Today, I would like to offer my suggestions. One thing I do believe is that we need to build community capacity and understanding to do land use advocacy work. I've been doing that on a lay level, whether it be on air toxics, water quality, housing, houseless, zoning. But we need to help continue to build capacity and be able to take some of this money and translate it into stipends so that people can learn and people have the time. I don't see the most vulnerable members in my community participating in any meetings if it doesn't already fit in their terrain and their day.
If you I'll just leave it at that. Thoughts. Okay, very good. Thank you.
I have another 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'll just continue with the letter because it's pretty intimidating being here holding my thoughts, but I appreciate this time, and I really mean it. I waited a long time to be able to address you directly. Thank you.
Could I just ask you a couple of questions? First of all, thank you for the work you've been doing. How long have you been with Northeast Coalition?
Over 3 years, 3.5 years.
And have you had cost of living increases over that time?
No, we haven't, and I believe that my executive director took a cut in pay from what the previous director received, and that has never been restored.
And the proposed resolution has a 3-year extension to the coalition contracts. What do you think about that?
I do think it would be very useful, because I do think there's good opportunity in this inter-bureau work group. One thing I could say is we definitely need a lifeline to the other bureaus, especially the bureaus that are rate-paying bureaus. They're not positioned well to do community engagement in that way, and we do kind of fill in the blanks quite a bit.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. What do you mean? Actually, I don't agree with you at all. Some bureaus who are able to generate their own money do an excellent job of community outreach. So please explain that statement.
When I used to be an intern at the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Community Watershed Stewardship Program, it's understanding that when, for them as a rate-paying bureau, sinking anything that doesn't relate to sinking water in the ground, if you don't use those funds correctly in a way that reflects the utility aspect of it, so BDS, I could use a lifeline in the BDS. Better lifeline in the BDS, the lot of the land use aspect of that. So I forgive me for overgeneralizing, but I do think, and I also serve on some on the Metro's Natural Areas Equity Work Group. That's a government agency that gives us the pays for our time. They respect what we say, and I see it translated in the outcome in print.
I just want you to know that I've been advocating for paid volunteer boards and commissions for at least the last decade here at the City of Portland. There's just no way to get low-income community members to invest time and energy if we're not removing barriers for them to be able to participate. But I did not want that to be on the record that somehow, without the Office of Civic Life, that there are city bureaus that are not experts at doing community engagement, because I've seen many of them do excellent jobs with or without the Office of Civic Life. So
I just would say I would like to strengthen that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Council, for this opportunity to speak today. I'm Colleen Shoemaker, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association. First, I wish to express my deep sorrow at the death of Commissioner Nick Fish and my sympathy to you, his colleagues, his family, staff, and friends who must most personally feel his absence. Commissioner Fish touched all Portlanders through his dedication to the welfare of our city, and we are all diminished by and grieve his passing. So thank you for taking the time to hear our concerns today in a very difficult week. Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association asks Council to reject the resolution to establish a multi-bureau working group to continue revision of Code 396. We support the goals of code revision to provide greater access to government for more diverse and representative groups in Portland. And we agree that Code 3.96 needs revision. But the 2019 draft still needs work. And a multi-bureau working group, as described in the resolution, and given the powers described there, is not the correct solution and could compound flaws in the draft. Now, you've heard criticisms of the process and the content of the Code's 2019 draft, so I'm not going to enumerate those here. This resolution that you're considering now calls for a closed and exclusive process for this next and what could be the final phase of Code 3.96 revision, if I'm reading it accurately. Unless the multi-bureau work group recommends it, no public participation or input is specifically required, according to the resolution. The work group, under OCCL's direction, can have the last word on the code. This resolution is fatally flawed because it could exclude the public from a process intended to better include it. It does not mandate sufficient accountability, transparency, or inclusion in order to prevent bias in the process or result. So we ask you to reject this resolution in its current form and have submitted a letter to this effect approved by our board, and we ask Council to approve continued funding for the neighborhood coalitions for at least 3, though we would prefer 5 years, but no other feature of this resolution. And we hope Council will consider other options for continuing the process of revising 3.96. And I thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Appreciate your being here. Thank you, all three of you.
Mayor, if I could just clarify,
sure.
I think there is a misunderstanding. The multi-bureau work group is to dig into the bureau codes and see how code change impacts all the cross-reference code. In November 2020, there will be a work session with findings from the review of cross-reference bureau responsibilities, recommendations for phase 2 engagement plan, which is the external public engagement plan, and recommendations for timing and work needed. So there absolutely won't be decisions made until there is a second round of public process.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for clarifying that. The wording in the resolution is not clear as to what the community engagement plan actually is supposed to do. So that goes back to the point that the wording needs, even in this resolution, to be clarified. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I ask a follow-up question? You may not be able to answer this on behalf of your coalition, obviously, on the fly, but with the clarification that Commissioner Udaly just made, and assuming that the language was very explicit, that there will be a robust community engagement process, would that allay your fears?
Perhaps.
Okay.
I echo what you've heard from others today as well, specific language, specific requirements, outlining all the further steps that you anticipate for completing the Code 3.96 process would be preferable. This appears to be a single step, but I as a citizen and resident want to know what all your future steps are, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I've had the benefit of several conversations with Commissioner Udaly, and I'm hearing the concerns expressed here as well as during the previous public hearing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Commissioner Udaly's intentions do address the concerns that are being expressed, but perhaps the language can be clarified. The requirements could be made more explicit.
Yes,
that might help people come on board with this next phase of a multi-phase process that will include public engagement. I will not support any final code revision without it.
Thank
so
you.
Very clear.
Mayor, just to be clear, there are two, be it further resolved, sections that specifically refer to the second round of engagement. We can't give you the specifics of what that will look like because that's part of what the multi-bureau group will be bringing back and council will be passing or not passing in November.
And that would in and of itself have a public engagement process.
So there absolutely is a series of public engagement.
Could I just ask the sponsor, in your next steps, when does the council get to propose amendments to the resolution and when will we vote on it?
We have, I wasn't anticipating any further amendments. We have bent over backwards to accommodate both sides, all of the offices, and we have a date, I think, it's in late January. I think January.
I will have amendments. And we've heard a lot of testimony asking for amendments to clarify things, even the concept of which bureau is going to run. Is there going to be a multi-bureau group? What is it going to do? There's a lot of questions, and so I would like us to build in a session where we can offer amendments and have some discussion.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Again, as I mentioned at the last forum, I am very interested in kind of seeing a timeline. I have not made a decision about extending the neighborhood association contracts. I certainly haven't made a decision to extend it for 3 years. I've seen no compelling argument as to why we would extend it for 3 years if we say we're working to actually change the process. I think that's way too long if we're in the process of making changes happen. So I want more dialogue and conversation about both the extension and then kind of what the timeline is for moving forward. Clearly, we've heard loud and clear from neighborhood associations. There are differences between the level of involvement that that neighborhood associations have had and want to have. And so I do think that we do have some more work to do, but I'm really looking forward to working with Commissioner Udaly to make sure that we have a solid proposal that we're moving forward, but we need more information to know whether or not we're moving in the right direction. Because again, a work group in and of itself is not going to fix the problems that we have within this process. So
thank you, Mayor. We have shared this timeline before. Hannah, if you could go grab timelines for my colleagues. There's a very clear process laid out, two processes. One is the multi-bureau work group, and one is examining the neighborhood coalition model. We had recommended a two-year extension because we just don't think we can do the kind of engagement we need to do and make any changes faster than that. 3 years was a compromise with advocates who wanted more time, and I'm happy to extend it. I think it's going to result in nothing but a better plan.
Great. Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The last three I have are Sean Green, okay, Chris Eikamp, and Stephanie Kaza.
And you're saying those were the last three, Carla?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did anybody else sign up or not check in with the council clerk? If you were here last time and didn't check in with the council clerk, you need to do that. Thank you.
Would you like to start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Eikamp. I'm the chair of the Hossard Abernathy Neighborhood Association, also active in a number of civic groups, and I'm not here speaking on behalf of any of them. This is my own thoughts. In its rewrite of the 3.96 code, civic life is tinkering with the machinery of Portland's democracy. I believe this is a good thing. I don't believe our system is perfect, and I believe in the idea of continuous improvement, but it also calls for proceeding carefully and deliberately and in a manner most likely to produce public confidence in the outcome. As you consider how to move forward, I want to ask you to consider these four points. First, before the multi-bureau meetings begin, there should be an open process to determine what the goals and outcomes of those meetings should be. Before we figure out how to answer the question, we need to decide what questions to ask. Second, at the end of the multi-bureau process, there should be a period for public comment before any proposal is brought before council. It would be ironic indeed if, when deciding how to do a better job hearing the voices of residents, we didn't take the chance to listen to those voices. Three, once the stated goals of the, one of the stated goals of the original civic life process was a set of voluntary guidelines that represent the best practices for civic engagement. As far as I know, these guidelines were never developed, and I'd like to ask civic life to continue its work to create these guidelines and to develop tools that would help neighborhood associations do a better job of including the voices of everyone in their boundaries. Further, I'm hoping that the rest of City Council will help all of our city bureaus and agencies become more responsive to the voices of residents, whether they participate via a neighborhood association, a different civic organization, or are simply speaking for themselves. Finally, I was very encouraged by your comments in December, in the December meeting from all of you about making this process less divisive. The notion that there is any disagreement about the need to improve the system is false. I think everyone in the room now and everyone at the meeting in December wants the same thing, a city that is responsive to the needs of its residents and one where there are multiple avenues of involvement and where every voice can be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Sean Green, I'm Vice Chair of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. I'm speaking for myself today. I apologize, I don't have prepared remarks, but I wanted to take the opportunity. There's been a lot going on in my life, and I wanted to just say that I really respect Council's desire to improve the way the neighborhood system works and to make our city more inclusive, and I want to say that as someone who participated in this process, both within the board of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods and offering feedback early on and showing up to meetings and participating and doing advocacy work directly with civic life, that I'm really inspired by the vision that Commissioner Udaly has and the vision that Sook has. And I want to support the positive change to make our community better. And I think there's some opportunities to learn from the process and to make changes as we move forward. I think that a lot of the things that Commissioner Udaly and Director Rhee did in terms of engagement were very innovative and are things that I think speak to the types of engagement that we want to be having in the future, though there's some other aspects of the engagement where there's opportunities to make it better, and I think we recognize that. I've been involved in a lot of Portland civic engagement processes, and I think that we continue to be a place that people from throughout the country and the world look to for best practices in terms of civic engagement. I'm proud to be part of a community that is looked upon that way. I just want to say that I'm going to be positive and participate. I think that I'm open personally, and I know that we've had discussions in the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods to a timeline that's faster. I think that the amount of resources and the type of engagement dictates how fast one can move. And there's different ways that process can happen. The beautiful thing is we've already engaged so many people, and people are aware and ready for this next phase to move forward so we can make our city better. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the hard work all of you do for our city.
You too.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is actually Suzanne Gardner. I'm a fellow board member with Stephanie Kaza, and she was unable to return from her trip in time. Is it possible for me to read her prepared remarks?
Without objection.
Is that okay?
Go
okay,
ahead.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Council members, thank you for your attention to our concerns as Portland citizens. I'm a member of the North Tabor Neighborhood Association and representative to our regional council, Southeast Uplift. The concerns expressed here reflect my personal experience as well as some of the points from our neighborhood association discussions. Regarding the proposed code change and multi-bureau work group resolution, I have three significant concerns to share with you. First, I believe OCCL has become so focused on inclusion that it has neglected fundamental aspects of livability and quality of life in the city and its neighborhoods. By neglect, I mean reducing budgets and staff for community safety and noise mitigation, and eliminating mediation support for citizens working on neighborhood issues. On my block, we have struggled to live with 24/7 garage home business with invasive and disturbing air compressor noise that impacts surrounding neighbors. In trying to resolve the problem in a neighborly way, we have seen how weak the city has become in its ability to help neighbors work out quality of life issues. The proposed code change reflects a major shift within OCCL away from basic services to promote safety and civility in spaces where people live and raise their families, which has real consequences in the quality of life on the ground. I ask the council to look closely at the budget and staffing shifts at OCCL and insist on a budget and staffing plan for the code change proposal that will restore basic services and safety, noise control, and citizen mediation before taking on additional multi-bureau coordination efforts. Second, I have serious concerns about the capacities of this small understaffed bureau, OCCL, to lead a multi-bureau effort involving extensive communication and staffing resources. Along the entire code change proposal project, communication to neighborhood associations was spotty at best, leaving most of us in the dark until this fall. Without review, these shortfalls in exhaustive detail, let me just say that inadequate to poor communication has been central to driving the divisiveness that has come to characterize this process. This has not built confidence among neighborhood associations that OCCL is capable or has sufficiently skilled leadership to oversee that process that will involve many people and offices across city government. To date, there is no indication that this process will be open and transparent to public. Third, I have not appreciated the characterization of neighborhood associations as elitist, non-inclusive, and non-representative. If the city wishes to have a truly representative form of government, it will need to shift to district-elected representation. Volunteer local neighborhood groups with limited budgets and time can only do so much. Neighborhood associations can coordinate local projects, but are hardly in the position to represent the interests of all citizens that live in their neighborhoods. This does not mean they're failing, however. I believe that therein our efforts to support safety, civility, good relations at ground level in neighborhood streets and homes is crucial to keeping Portland a city with high quality life values. I would like to see commitment and support for neighborhood associations strengthened, even as business and community groups are also included at OCCL. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, all three.
I appreciate you.
Thank you for presenting on behalf of your friend. That's nice.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Does that complete our testimony, Carla?
That's all I show who checked in, yes.
Very good. I'd like to just make a brief comment. First of all, I want to thank everyone who came to testify today. And again, some of you actually sat through an entire three-hour session before you had the opportunity to testify. I really liked the testimony that reflected the fact that this is created a broader and a deeper community discussion about civic engagement. And I want to applaud Commissioner Udaly for, frankly, the opportunity that this city has had to revisit this conversation. It's an important one. I want to stake out some ground here, at least for myself. I believe it's critically important that we support neighborhood associations. The 2016 audit, however, also made it very clear that the city is changing. It's becoming more diverse and more people are renting. And I've believed in that audit confirmed that neighborhood associations need to be more inclusive of people of color, of renters, and people with lower incomes. And what I heard a number of people say as they came to the microphone today is they acknowledge that our neighborhood infrastructure, which is just like our broader civic infrastructure and our form of government, requires evolution as the circumstances and the needs in our community evolve. So I want to be clear that I believe we should work with the neighborhood associations to make them more inclusive, not abolish them. and I appreciate the spirit with which people came to the mic today. Thank you for that. Commissioner Udaly, I don't know if you,
thank you,
have
Mayor.
Anything more.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for coming today. I did hear a fair amount of continued misunderstanding about the process and the resolution, and unfortunately, when you hear something over and over again, even if it's not true, people tend to start believing it. So all I can do is state the facts as I know them, as one of the people fairly instrumental in this process and this resolution, over and over again, and hope that something sticks. At no point were neighborhood associations on the chopping block. They were acknowledged, well, for one thing, the controversy over code change began before the code change proposal was even made, let alone brought to council for a vote. Neighborhood groups or geographically based groups were always included in those recommendations. And when I heard from neighborhood associations that the proposed language made them really nervous and they wanted to see neighborhood associations specifically referenced, I asked that that language be put back in. And that's the point where the proposal reflected that there would be no change in the kind of benefits and privileges extended to neighborhood associations until or unless the bureaus wanted to engage in a similar code change process for themselves. Moving forward, I have no intention of defunding or eliminating neighborhood associations, but I want to point something out. Neighborhood associations are independent entities. They are not government agencies. You are your own organizations. I have very little control over what you do. And in fact, although we spend hundreds of hours in staff time trying to resolve conflicts in neighborhood associations, we have no real power to compel them to make any changes or improvements beyond de-recognizing neighborhood associations. I don't know that that's ever been done. I've never done it. And I would ask you to consider the fact that if I really wanted to dismantle the neighborhood association system, I would start de-recognizing the neighborhood associations who are out of compliance with the standards, which a cursory glance suggests it's over 50%. I don't want to do that. So I would really appreciate it. You know, we can agree to disagree philosophically or on policy, but this continued suggestion that the intent of this process was to dismantle the neighborhood association is simply false. And I can't, it gives me nowhere to go in the conversation when that continues to be asserted. Again, please go to my office and get this sheet of paper. The suggestions that there's going to be no public process before this is brought to council is incorrect. We will have a work session. No decisions are to be made in a work session. It's a learning opportunity for council, and it's a rare opportunity for us to come together as a group and discuss issues outside of these council sessions. Once that work session has happened, and if we can find agreement among the council members, then that phase two of external engagement begins with the public process that you're talking about. And finally, I have to correct a couple pieces of misunderstanding about the Bureau. We have not reduced the budget for noise or crime prevention. There has been changes with mediation, which was somewhat underutilized, and what we still have mediation through the civic life. But what we've also done is offer an array of workshops and classes, which are things that neighborhood associations have been asking for to help you learn to be more inclusive, or I mean, there's a variety of classes offered. So I think those are the main points of misunderstanding that I wanted to clear up, and I'll leave it at that.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for that statement. I think one of the concerns of neighborhood associations are that if you take out the definition of what a neighborhood association is, that then becomes unclear as to how neighborhood associations are recognized and supported, and so that's something that will need to be addressed moving forward. Excuse me. The other issue is the bigger issue is the district coalitions and the district offices, because two of them actually are city-run offices. Five of them are nonprofit coalitions run by nonprofit boards. And without predictable, sustainable, adequate funding for the coalitions, the neighborhood associations go away. So it's the funding for the coalitions is the thing that really, really needs to happen. We currently have one coalition, Southeast Uplift, who has been seeking a new executive director for a long time. It's very difficult to recruit somebody to a job that's only going to be there for 3 years for sure, and particularly when the coalitions have not had cost of living increases for such a long time. So that's one of the issues that I think we should have some more council discussion. And then I will be proposing some amendments to the resolution so that it says in the resolution what's in the timeline. We also have had multiple people asking us to have a different bureau do the multi-bureau work group. It's not entirely clear to me what the multi-bureau work group is going to do. And in particular, having the bureaus do something for 10 months and then coming to council without having any community input into the community system as to how people want to be engaged, how we deliver services, I think is not likely to reach consensus. And I believe it says in the resolution it's a hearing rather than a work session in November. So
it's a work session in November, but...
Okay, so then you'll have an amendment to your resolution. So I think there's still many questions. It's really unfortunate that we were not able to hold a second evening hearing. We had 35 people who were waiting to testify last time. We had 12 people who were able to make it in. Thank you very much for that.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I also just want to add my appreciation and thanks to folks who were able to make it back again to be able to have your voice heard. We've also received several emails from folks who weren't able to actually make it in person today, and so I'm also grateful for that. For me, I think I do share a little bit of Commissioner Fritz's concern about the clarity of the road that we're on. What I've heard clearly is that there is a desire from neighborhood associations to be part of the solution, and I'm not quite sure when that process will be allowed to take place, especially if we're going to have an internal work group and we've funded neighborhood associations for 3 years. In my mind, as soon as we pass a document that says we've funded them for 3 years, people will lose interest in having the conversation because, quite frankly, there's not the hammer over to make sure that people are actually working in good faith to actually move the process forward. I don't like city processes, especially those that start off so divisive, to drag out for a multiple-year process, right, without real updates, without real opportunities for the community to know where we are in the process and to, quite frankly, be engaged in the process. We've also heard that there's a desire by neighborhood associations, as Commander Fritz.
That's an upgrade or a downgrade? Kind of like, yeah.
We're recruiting.
If only.
as Commissioner Fritz said, now I forgot what it was I was going to comment about, but I think for me, I want a process that's actually a process that engages more people. I want to be real clear. I don't think any one organization represents everybody. And whether that is culturally specific or not culturally specific, there's no one organization that represents every perspective, every viewpoint, right? So we have an obligation, if we say we want community engagement, we have an obligation as a city to make sure that we're not just dependent on one perspective, but that we're actually reaching out into a broad range of communities to get that input. And we should actually be bringing people along rather than doing it to people. So I look forward to the next steps. I guess we'll see when this comes back later how we can be helpful in making sure that this is an inclusive process that is not villainizing any segments of our community, but are looking for common ground that we can build on. So thank you all for being here. Greatly appreciate it.
Very good. So this is a resolution. We are continuing the resolution. I don't believe we have a date certain at this point, but we'll keep the public notified. Is that correct, Carla? We do not have a...
I have a date penciled in. Were we doing the January 30 still? Yeah. Okay, so I have Thursday, January 30th at 3 p.m.
Okay. Thursday, January 30th, 3:30 p.m. time certain.
3
p.m. time certain here at Portland City Hall. We'll continue to that date. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Get the last piece of your cooking.